It is January the 25th, 2015. A couple of fives in there, a couple of ones. Oh my, and a couple of twos. How about that? There's a lot of synchronicity in this day, and what it reminds me most of is that a month ago today, we were all celebrating Christmas. Sometimes I think it would be so nice to have Christmas year-round if you could subtract from it all the hustle and bustle of commercialism and buying presents and having to travel to get somewhere to do something. And, you know, if we could just celebrate the true spirit of Christmas, how wonderful it would be to do this all the time. When I think of it, and you just subtract all of the stuff that's been added onto that holy day, I think of, well, the first thing I think of are babies, I guess, because of the Christ child, but also because of the innocence and the glow in the eyes of brand new babies and how innocent they are. And I get to remember that everybody once was one. That's something we all have in common. We all, no matter how old we are or how young we are, we all once were a baby. And even people you see on the news who've engaged in disgusting behavior, they still were once a baby. And that baby was innocent and just fresh out of the arms of God. And that's what Christmas reminds me of. I got reminded of that yesterday when I saw on the on one of the internet news pages that the new 2015 Gerber baby has been selected. I didn't know that they selected a new Gerber baby every year, but they had the pictures of the past Gerber babies, and I thought, oh my goodness, these are the most adorable pictures of human potential ever created. And I was just absolutely in love with every one of them. And now, you know, the irony is that the second thing I think of after babies is I think of all the people that we help at Christmas. The elderly, the homeless, the people who really need love because they've fallen either on hard times or they've just grown old without much care or assistance from other people, and or they're in the hospital. And so I think of that, and I think about how no matter how hard our life has been, there's still this lighted, beautiful, innocent soul that we love to help and assist and celebrate at Christmas. And I guess the next thing I think about are hugs and good cheer from friends and family, where we just celebrate, yay, we made it through another year. And no matter what happened, God is good and life is good. And we have carols and we have candlelight, and we just celebrate the love of God for us, for all of humanity, for this earth, that Christ would join us. And those are the things I think about. It's kind of like the song that Julie Andrews sang in The Sound of Music, My Favorite Things. So those are my favorite things about Christmas. And it's nice to think about them a month later after all the non-necessities have passed away, and we're into a new year. Today was a very interesting day for me because I was actually thinking about the new year and all the beautiful things that it can bring and how this year will be quite different than last year. And I believe that's true for everyone. There are changes going on in the world that I have not yet manifested fully, and yet I strongly feel them there. An example is that I had no idea that I would be publishing the new book, The Way to a Greater Life, until, wow, I think it was about right about just before Christmas. I'd been working on it for a long time, but I thought it was something I was going to do much later in the year. And I let Larry read a couple of chapters, and he said, Glenda, you have to get this out right now. This is ready to go. Everybody needs this now. And I thought, well, how in the world am I going to do it? I don't know. I've got Christmas. I've got this and that. And I've had this business thrown on me. And I shouldn't say it like that, because it's really an opportunity to get a firsthand touch on this beautiful service to humanity that I've been allowed to create for Yeshua. So, but sometimes it is a little overwhelming, because it's just me and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit and Larry, of course, for love, wisdom, and mental support, and sometimes a little bit of management thrown in, good ideas and that sort of thing. But sometimes it does feel like a heavy load. It won't always be that way. It's going to change this year as well. But all of a sudden, I felt the energy of the new year come in, and everything came together for that book. Everything. Now, the work and the writing on almost all the chapters had already been done, but it hadn't been put together, and it got put together so quickly. And Larry did the editing for me, and he was so great doing that. I just, you know, he'd better watch out. He may have a permanent job. He's probably chuckling in the background like, oh, no, you don't. But, oh, his input was fabulous. But anyway, it rolled out in like 2 weeks. And I thought, can I really get this out? And I thought, I want to get it to everyone so that they've got it as a love letter from Christ for Valentine's Day. So I called the publisher and found out, we're the publisher, but the printer, and set a date, and they thought they really could get it to us by the 26th of January. And I thought, okay, if they do that, I'll have 300 copies sent here, I'll sign these, and we'll get them out. We may only be able to get out 50 a day, because I've got a real problem with my right hand that's going to be requiring surgery. This will, so I'm taking on just, I'm working with God, the Holy Spirit, and miracles, kind of, and super duper band-aids to keep my life moving forward. But hey, it's working. So no complaints here. It's kind of fun to watch miracles happen and to watch how God moves us forward despite all the things the world might say can't be done. So the books, the first 300 copies, they're on their way, and they are actually scheduled for delivery tomorrow, which is the 26th. So if UPS carries through with their end of the promise, I'll have the books tomorrow. We'll begin signing, and they will be on their way to you well in time for Valentine's Day. And I'm so happy about that. But I just, what brought this up is that the energy that went into this, Larry's recognition of what was here waiting to be released, the almost improbability of being able to do it, was all part of a new field of energy. And I was looking at that today again. There are going to be some fabulous things occurring in this world, and I don't mean just for me, for everybody. This is something new is happening, and I'm so looking forward to this year. And all we need to do is focus upon all the good things that are being given to us. Don't allow the negative things, if they happen, and probably there will be some things that happen, just because we're still in the tail end of an old world that uses harm, damage, and fear to distract us from our line of purpose and from the good we came here to do. So don't let it have that impact on you. Just look at it and say, oh my Lord, this is terrible. My heart goes out to those who suffer. Say your prayers, be in meditation with God, and then get back to your positive, creative business with the Holy Spirit. Keep moving things forward. That is the remedy. There are those who are called to be first responders, to be there, whether it's the Salvation Army, the Coast Guard, the firefighters, the police, all of the first responders there to assist and give social support to those who most need it. Let them do their work and pray for them that they do it well and that they're protected and guarded from further harm. But get your attention off of it. Stop expecting more of it. Start expecting more of all the best, because it's coming, and it's coming like an avalanche. I have never felt such a positive feeling about the coming of this avalanche of opportunity, of a new spirit of birthing the world we always wanted but never quite got. Because positive and negative forces in the past have been pretty much equal. And if we got too far ahead on the positive front, something or someone, some Stalin, some Mussolini, some Hitler, someone else, or some other force would rear its ugly head and make sure to bring us back into balance. Positive and negative state in balance. My friends, I'm seeing a change. The positive is now at least 60%, and it's not going to ever go back into stagnant equilibrium. It's moving ahead. We are moving ahead. The blessings of God are upon us for the creation of a new and better world. Look for how you can increase that positive side of the equation for yourself. And I'm not saying that the balance of positive and negative was not a creative necessity at a certain point in time. It actually gave us the challenges we needed to overcome the negative and to make choices about which side we really wanted to be on. You know, it's an important aspect of human consciousness and conscience to be presented with a decision and then make the right one. We have needed that as part of strengthening the core of our being. Humanity needed that. Now, what we need is to no longer be so distracted by that level of decision that we can begin building on the root foundation of all the positive decisions we've made in the past and move forward. And it's with that spirit that this new book has been released, The Way to a Greater Life, where we're now embracing the fact that we can move forward. And you'll enjoy the fact that in one of the chapters we talk about something that we've all experienced, and that is that in this universe, there is a curvature of space in all things. Just a simple example is that our Earth is a sphere, and it turns on an axis. And if we look out over even the flattest, clearest, cleanest plane, there's a point at which we cannot see beyond the horizon, because the Earth is curved out of our view. It's curved down below what we can see. If we climbed up on a tower, we would have a different angle of vision, and so that would encompass some of that curvature, and we'd see a little further. If we went up in a helicopter, we'd have an even higher angle of vision, and we could see more. If we went up in a satellite, we could see even more. If we went to the moon, well, we could see all of one side of the Earth, but we still wouldn't see the other side. Why? Because there's curvature to the Earth. There's actually curvature to everything. And it's the curvature that allows us to have focus upon what's with us right here and now, and yet have the excitement and the intrigue and the discovery of where it's all leading and the future unfolding. Sometimes if we don't manage our life appropriately, we can get caught by one of these curves, like a curve in a road. We're driving faster than the curve of the road really will allow us to make a turn, and then there's a car coming, and it's not in good management either, and a catastrophe happens. We've all experienced our mismanagement of curves, and we've all experienced that when visibility is low, such as foggy nights, we've got to be ultra careful of the fact that there are curves in the road. This is not negativity. And we've got to learn to grow beyond that. Just because there's a curve in the road does not mean that God is throwing us a curveball or punishing us or life has an enemy surrounding us or we're being thwarted for malicious reasons in any way. The fact is, all of life has curvatures to it. Relationships have curvatures. All of you who've ever been a parent know that as your child grows up into an adult, there was curvature in what you saw in the baby. You didn't see in the adolescent. You couldn't have seen. And in the adolescent, you couldn't have seen what emerged in the adult. And even those of you who don't have children can look back on yourself, how you presented curvatures to your parents. And sometimes it was very upsetting to your parents, but you didn't mean it to be thwarting or defiant. It's just you were becoming a teenager and then an adult, and you were saying, "Hey, Dad, you just got to let me grow. I got to do my thing." And we've all been there, but rarely have we really understood the importance of how we handle all of the planes of curvature in life and understand that as a positive. It's there in everything, absolutely everything. Most people don't realize that gravity, the pull of gravity, is not a straight line at all. Gravity is brought on by a gravitational field, and that's actually the accurate description of what we colloquially call gravity. It's a gravitational field, and it's curved. Our whole solar system flows in a curving pattern. That's the gravitational field. And it interlocks with a larger gravitational field that is our galaxy. And that interlocks with a larger gravitational field, which is our universe that contains other galaxies, which are also revolving around their gravitational fields. And inside each of these large gravitational fields, if we go down to the micro elements of an atom, the particles, the electrons, the neutron, the neutrinos, and the photons, and all the little teensy tiny particles in an atom are revolving around their gravitational field. You see, the gravitational field is part of all of life. It's here. And what we need to make our transition from is instead of looking at polarized opposites, which were very helpful to us in focusing and developing our learning, and rising above opposition, developing the opportunity for decisions, rising above challenges. We need to move to the bigger picture, which is, how do we handle all the curves in life? All of life is full of them. even in our own health. We have seasons in our life, and these seasons are curvilinear. It's part, and they move around, and we think we're changing and becoming someone totally different until we move around to a different angle, and there we are again. Everywhere you go, there you are. But you've been through this huge and amazing curvilinear pattern that allowed you to become more of who you are in a bigger, in a larger sphere of involvement, in a larger range of outreach. Your circle of friends is larger, your circle of influence is larger, and it's still curvilinear. How are you going to deal with that? Okay, this is the transition we're making. And this is what we're going to see as our learning curve instead of learning so much from opposites. And we still see that there are things to manage. We still see there are not so good situations in the world. There's still going to be harmful and destructive behavior that we have to make choices about and deal with. And how will we eliminate it? How will we rise above it and move beyond it? We're going to learn how to move through it and beyond it in a more curvilinear pattern that allows us to find our new field of light in a bigger sphere of involvement. I've been exploring this in my art for years, not really knowing why I was doing it or what I was being led to see. The larger sphere of consciousness is what Yeshua was teaching me. But only when it all came together in this book did I really get that aha moment. Oh, so that's what it's all been about for the last 22 years. Getting through this change. Getting to where we can move along the highways at high speed, going safely, being careful of others as we go around some pretty steep curves in life, knowing how to do it. So that's really what I was led to bring you as my message for today. And I guess it goes along with where we are right now. And by the way, we have, I think we've got about, I didn't do a final count before the call. We've got somewhere between 25 and 50 books left for the original shipment of 300. The others from this point on will just ship out from our fulfillment center because, Lordy, friends, I need all the help I can get, and it just has to be that way for a while before we until I get some help here. But it's my pleasure to get you signed copies in the beginning, and I know you're going to love the book. I know it's going to bring some really important aha moments to you. So don't miss your opportunity to get your copy while they're still available. And you're getting pretty close to the gateway because they're supposed to arrive here. Let's see, tomorrow is the 26th. They're supposed to arrive tomorrow. I can't say I'll start signing tomorrow because they usually deliver around 6 o'clock. But we'll be at it the next day. And I just can't wait for you to get your copy. Before we move on, though, and close down, I promised Desmond that he would get to talk today. So, hi, Desmond. You're on. Are you still there, Desmond?
Yeah, I was on mute, for sure. I'm very much so looking forward to your new book, and June bought me a copy of it, so
I saw that.
Doing it soon. Yeah.
Was there something else you wanted to say?
No, not really. I was just enjoying the whole day, and I hope your wrist gets better.
Well, it's just something I have to deal with. I'm actually scheduled for surgery on the 12th of February. That's one reason I was so concerned about, can I get this book out? Can I do what I'm going to do? Can it all be done in time? So getting my my hand repaired will be my gift from heaven, because unless I do it, I'll never paint again. And I could use all of your prayers on that, because I certainly do want to paint again, and I want to write. I've got lots more books to write, and I'm asking for help on that, and I have every certainty that it'll be just fine. Okay, is there anyone else who wants to? Well, actually, we are at the 3:30 mark, so I think this would be a wonderful time for me just to welcome all of our new attendees. I know every week we have new people. And let me make this real short and easy for you. This blessing is really between you and God, you and the Holy Spirit, you and Christ. I and the other blessing givers are facilitators. We have learned through the teachings of Christ how to attract a special frequency of energy into this atmosphere that is so full of so many frequencies of energy, from radio waves to television waves to microwaves and satellite waves, not to mention all the natural frequencies that come from the weather and the environment and other people and conflicts. We actually have a kind of a cacophony or chaos of energy waves in the in the biosphere that's right on the surface of the earth right now. And we, as blessing givers, have been taught how to tune in more directly to the frequencies that assist us in receiving the blessings from Christ, the blessings from the Holy Spirit and from God, and of getting our prayers delivered without so much interference from other forms of energy, to be more directly connected. We are not intercessors between God and you. We are simply facilitators for you to be in direct communion with God, which is why we ask you to be in prayer during the blessing. And in the early part of the blessing, all you need to do is be seated and have your shoes and socks off, because we also include the earth. The earth is a great magnetic field that helps to anchor us in receiving this energy. It helps to move the energy of the Holy Spirit and the energy of the earth into a perfect synchronicity with your prayer, your desires, and your needs. So have your shoes and socks off, feet on the ground, and just sitting comfortably in your chair. Allow your attention to just remove your attention from your mind. Don't think anymore about your troubles or life or anything that's perplexing or vexing for you, or even all the desirable things you want. Just allow your attention to drop into your heart. Be there in complete serenity to the will of God, to your connection with God. I will offer an invocation to Yeshua and a thank you to him. And then the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy. As you say your prayer, your prayers, and you can say your prayers in any way that is comfortable or meaningful to you. For some of you, it will be silent. For some of you, it will be aloud. And don't worry about, we're all muted, so it doesn't matter. I know some people who sing their prayers. Some people just hum their prayers. Some people have a mantra that they use for their prayers. Whatever prayer is to you, pray while the energy is being conducted, and that will last about 3 minutes. When the energy has been conveyed, I will let you know. And then I want you to go rest. And rest and be quiet. Don't talk. Don't even think. Just rest as if you were a baby asleep. This is when all of the energy that's been given to you will pour through every cell in your body, body, heart, and soul, all that you are, to offer you the beginning seed in your life for fulfilling and answering everything for which you've prayed. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, we love you. We seek to have you in our life, always, every day, with us. We seek to laugh with you. We seek to cry on your shoulder. We seek your comforting hand when we're confused and frightened and worried. And we thank you so much that you have offered to be here with us on these Sundays to offer your love and your blessing in a very special way that can set our week up for a better week and set our heart on the right path for every week to bring more light into our life, more love into our life and our soul and our being. Thank you for knowing our needs even before we do and for having answers we can't even possibly conceive. We thank you for being our brother, our friend, and the Son of God on earth, walking with us forever. Amen. The blessing has been given. Now, go and rest. Be one with God and know that you are truly loved for all that you are, as you are, always. Bye-bye for now, and I hope to be with you again next week. Be happy, be well, be healed.